If I could get the heat that's right up here down to y'all, we'd all be more comfortable. I might end up getting there, especially if a fan is helping me. Just pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to call your attention tonight for just a little while to Psalm 1, the first psalm in the book of Psalms. And I'd like to read the entirety of the psalm in your hearing to begin with. Pray the Lord will just continue to bless us. I feel like we've had a good meeting already. And the songs that we have sung, I just believe the Lord has moved you in your heart to select such beautiful songs that speak the gospel and proclaim the gospel. Think of the verse that tells us we're speaking unto ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I believe He has blessed us to be able to do that tonight. We not only sing notes or sing the song in a way of hearing those things, but we sing with the understanding also, and those the true singing of hymns or the gospel, and we declare that to one another, and that is always a great encouragement. The way the Lord has designed His church, those singing of hymns often prepare our hearts and minds to receive the word. And I just pray He'll bless us to share the word tonight, and that you'll be blessed to hear it, and we'll be able to grow in the truth of God's word. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The psalmist here declares that the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, that man is blessed. And I'm thankful that it's said just the way that it is, because it fits with the rest of God's word. Doesn't say that he will be blessed if he does these things, or that by doing these things he becomes blessed. It doesn't say that at all. And many of the doctrines of this world say if you'll do this or that or some other thing, then the Lord will bless you, the Lord will save you, the Lord will do something for you. But unless you do those things are necessary for you to do in order to receive His blessing. But the Bible, and there are indeed blessings that we'll be able and do enjoy and are able to walk in because of obedience to the Lord. There's no question about that. But what this verse is saying is that the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, that man is already blessed if he's able to do that. Very important point. Man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what is the counsel of the ungodly? The counsel of the ungodly is a counsel that does not fit the Word of God. Any counsel that we receive in this world, no matter how wise in their minds and eyes of the world a man might be, if he gives counsel and he gives instruction, it may be seemingly very reasonable to the natural mind and to the natural man. It may seem like that's the way to go. It may seem like that makes good sense. It may seem that certainly that's more wise than anything else, and that'd be the direction to go. If it is not of thus saith the Lord, it is ungodly counsel. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's counsel that is not godly, not godly given, godly that is God given and God blessed, The instruction that you and I need to in this world is that instruction that comes from God's Word, and that is the counsel we are to walk in. Now, by nature, what is it that we choose? What is it that man will walk in every single time if left to his own abilities, to his own mind, to his own heart? You don't find man at any point in the Bible changing his mind, changing his way, changing his course, and going from the counsel of the ungodly by his own free choice and turning to the counsel that comes from God. You just don't. You won't find that in the Word of God. What you will find in the Word of God is the very fact that man cannot do that on his own. That in order for a man to get out of the counsel of the ungodly and not walk in that counsel, he's got to be blessed first. He doesn't get out of it to get blessed, but he's got to be blessed. It's like the Beatitudes that you read about in the Sermon on the Mount. The blessings that are given there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I may have gotten some of those, but you're aware of those blessings that are given there. They are beatitudes or attitudes that you'll find in God's children. They're not things you get in order to become blessed, but if you have those things, you're already blessed. Tonight, if you have any ability or you have any desire to walk in the counsel of the godly rather than the counsel of the ungodly, it is not you that have done it in order to get blessed, but it's the Lord who's already blessed you to be able to see and know and understand things you could have not seen or known or understand otherwise. We'll just turn to Isaiah 64, since it's a very, very familiar passage of Scripture that lets us know that no man just changes his mind and starts following or seeking after God by his own efforts. Verse 6 of Isaiah 64 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing." Now, what I like about that, it doesn't make me happy, but it's a truth that's laid out. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing." It didn't say you are all as an unclean thing. It doesn't say all the congregation, but not the preacher. Or it doesn't say all the brothers, but not the sisters. Or all the sisters, but not the brothers. It doesn't say everybody but my family. It doesn't say everybody but Old Baptists. It doesn't say anything like that. It says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I heard that quoted today. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sin, like the wind, have taken us away. And some would say, well, all you have to do is change your course. Yes, that's true, but all you got to do is change your course. If you stop living like this and start living like that, you'll become acceptable with God. In some cases, it's a little bit you got to do, and God will do the rest. In some cases, it's a lot you got to do, and God will do the rest. In some cases, it's you got to do it, and then you got to keep it, and you got to hold on to it. And what I'm saying to you, one little bit is too much, and bondage is bondage. Whether you're under the doctrine, you've got to do a little bit or a lot. Any bit is too much according to the Scripture, because our very best righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And then he says this, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name." Now who is it that calls upon the Lord? Well, it's no man by his own efforts. You find someone calling on the Lord, he's already blessed. You find someone who's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly and desiring the counsel of the godly, you didn't come here tonight to hear my ideas and thoughts. My ideas and thoughts are just like your ideas and thoughts. We are among those, if it's just of the natural mind, my ideas and thoughts are of no more value or less value than your ideas and thoughts. As a matter of fact, we all fit that song, that proverb that says this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." And it's been a thought on my mind about that, and I've shared it a couple times. You don't have to strive to enter in at the Broadway. All you have to do is get up in the morning and just walk any old way according to your own thoughts. You can be in the Broadway and are in the Broadway. We are in the Broadway. We need to be brought out of the Broadway. And number one, in order to get out of the Broadway, you got to be blessed. You have to be blessed of the Lord with life in order to know what you can't know and do what you can't do. And then there's an effort on our part that is given to us according to the New Testament in Luke 13. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That means I got an old flesh that wants to take me the wrong way. And yet there, if I'm born of the Spirit of God, I'm already blessed. I have the spiritual man that would have me walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather in the counsel of the godly. He says, let me get back to this verse. He said, there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself. I like that. There's nobody that can stir us up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us. That means we can't see him. We don't desire to see him, but we don't have the ability to see him. The reason man can't save himself is because he doesn't have the want to do it, and he doesn't have the ability to do it. Now, the Bible tells us that the natural man, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, and that's every one of us by nature, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It also says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And this verse in Isaiah says, there is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. And the reason is, for thou hast hidden thy face from us. Now somebody says God is trying to get to everybody, and God is working hard to hide, to show himself to everyone. And if you'll just look at him, if you'll just follow him, if you'll just do your part, then God is wanting to do this. God is trying to do this, but men won't turn and follow him. And then when you get down to what the scripture says, there is nobody seeking after him, and God has hidden it from them, so that unless God opens their eyes, unless God opens their ears, they will never seek after him, because he has hidden his face from us. And he says, and has consumed us. And why has he done that? It isn't God's fault that he did that. It's because of our iniquities. You see, sin has separated us from the almighty, righteous, powerful, holy, and just God. And none of us want his way. And there's a reason we don't want his way. It's because we want our way. And that's where it gets hard, isn't it? All of us battle that. We can see it so much sometimes in others, but it's hard for us to really acknowledge it in ourselves until you're blessed. You see, and once you're blessed, one of the things that comes in the blessing of the Lord is that you know, I don't have wisdom enough to make it in this world. That I need counsel more than what I'm getting from myself. I need counsel more than what I can get from the schools of learning in this world. I need counsel more than what I'm getting from my bosses on the job. I need counsel greater than what my companion, as much as she loves me, can give me. Or as much as my a mother or a father can give you. Now listen, they can give you good counsel, but it's only God that allows you to see the godly counsel that comes. Otherwise, you just think mom and daddy, they're old fogey and out of touch, and they're out of step, and they're certainly not, they're not smart enough to help me. Until the Lord allows you to see how little we really know, then we become those hungry for godly counsel. Are you here tonight because you want godly counsel? If you're not, I'm going to have a hard time feeding you. I can't, you know, if you set out a table of food for people that are already full, you can have it just full of all kinds of good stuff. But if they don't have an appetite, or they're not hungry, and they're not thirsty, blessed are you if you're hungry and thirsty, as a beatitude. Blessed are you if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Are you hungry tonight? And really, if you're not hungry, sometimes God's children aren't hungry because they don't realize how much we really need him. And the reason we get to that place is because pride enters in and we think we're getting along pretty good. You know, I'm handling this pretty good. And what can happen in our lives, circumstances can sometimes bring us to the place where we get what I call a wake-up call. Where the Lord allows you to see, life is too big for me. I've faced a lot of things. I thought I can handle this just fine. Bring it on. I can handle this just fine. And I've learned by experience that even when I thought I was handling it, I wasn't doing a very good job. And now I've learned I can't handle a thing. I can't handle a thing. I can't handle a day of my life without the Lord. I can't handle my breakfast without the Lord. I'll eat too much. I can't handle my days as I'm going among my little kids at school. I'll lose my patience. I can't handle it with my peers because one of them look at me funny. I in my counsel that comes from the ungodly will look funny right back at them. And next thing, or as I'm living my life, I don't know how to do anything the way I don't know how to be the husband I need to be, or the father that I need to be, or the friend that I need to be. I can't do any. And if we don't understand that tonight, we're not going to be very hungry for the counsel that comes from God's Word. But if we understand that, it'll drive you to the table. I mean, when you're really hungry, you don't want to miss that meal. You know, naturally speaking, if you're really hungry, you want to set to the food tastes so good when you're hungry, doesn't it? And when everything, and get this, the table that the Lord has set, there may be a brother, as Brother Jason said today, he said, I don't want any meatloaf and that kind of thing. There may be a table in this old world that isn't too appealing to us and isn't too appetizing to us, even if you are hungry. I mean, I want something good to eat when I'm hungry. But I'm telling you, God's table is full of stuff that, not stuff, it's the truth. That is always good. It's not only good to eat. The Bible says it's good for you. It's wholesome. And it also says you can incline. I love this. You can incline yourself in fatness. Oh, what does that mean? That means you can just eat and 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 eat. And instead of making you sick, it'll make you better. And the more I have found that I look at God's Word, the more I hunger for it. The more I hear preaching, the more I want to hear preaching. The more I'm attentive to in the house of God, the more I have a hunger to be attentive. And the more that I have, and I'll tell you, nothing has driven me to the table, God's banqueting house, in my life more than need. Because I need Him. I need Him. Yet, if the Lord hadn't awakened you to that, you will. Listen, man by nature doesn't feel like he needs God. The Bible says it, and I quote this often, but it's still the truth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, get that, he's prideful, he will not seek after God. You know why? Because he doesn't think he needs him. There are people tonight that would tell us we're completely foolish to believe in God, and it's just a weakness in us that allows us to have a crutch to try to get along. Listen, and they believe that we have created a God that we can depend on and use Him for a crutch. They even would tell you that was probably pretty good for man until he evoluted up to the place we are today, and we no longer need that crutch. We need to step over into the next level. I'm telling you what, man hadn't evoluted up. He's degenerated down. And he continues to do that. And as long as we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, we will, as God's children, when we do that, we will timely perish. And those who are not the children of God, not of the elect of God, as they walk in this world, they will eternally perish. And that's a fact from the Scripture. And we don't know, we don't have sense enough to take care of ourselves or everyone else, or anyone else. But he says, blessed. You're blessed tonight. Is the man. I believe that means a woman too. I'm sure glad of that tonight since I'm the only male here. I'm sure glad and thankful for our sisters. And I'm thankful when it says man here, it includes the men, the male and the female. Blessed is the man, the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means that the counsel of the and the teachings and the things of this world, we will not walk in them because we know they bring heartache. And it isn't because we made a decision for the Lord that that happens. It's because of what He has done in our heart. And then there is some application of that in our life where we just, are you committed? I want to follow the Lord. What was it the one brother said today, quoting from Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. Now what that means isn't that when you let God be true, that makes Him true. God is already true. It means in your mind you're committed to the fact God's true. It doesn't make God more true. It just says in my house, in my head, in my heart, God is true. That is where I'm committed. God is my, He is the one I'm looking to. He is the Lord. And when it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, it doesn't mean that Jesus needs to, you need to get Him on the throne. He's already on the throne. What it means is, in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience, is He where He ought to be? He is already there. Are you acknowledging, am I acknowledging that in our lives? And I'll tell you, if you are, it'll keep you out of the counsel of the ungodly. It'll help you walk in the counsel of the godly. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's when you're walking. And then sometimes we're not walking, are we? But we're standing in the way of sinners. Where are we standing? Where do we stand? Where are we standing? You know, we don't even know. Yeah, and we don't even know and identify what sin is. Have we come to really see that? How do we know what's right and wrong and good and evil and the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do? How do we know that? Somebody says, well, you're just born with that. No, you're born with a depraved nature that sins always. Even when you would do good, evil is present with you. You are by nature a child of wrath, even as others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the details of Romans 3, we not only find that we have a little sin mixed with us, we find sin throughout our entire body. We find sin in all that we do, in our hands and in our feet and in our mind and in our heart. And yes, we talked that we heard today, and so many things that were taught today, and I thank God for that. But we heard today about sin, not just being little sin and big sin, but that sin is sin. And if you're guilty of the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole entire law. Hatred is, one who hates a brother is like a murderer. And adultery is not only that which is done in the action on the outside, but that which occurs even in the hearts of people. And that sin is, it is mixed in all that we do. And as a matter of fact, all we do would be sin if it weren't for God's blessing. Even our very best is like filthy rags. So He says, you're blessed if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, and you're blessed if you don't stand in the way of sinners. That means God's little children, you're not. We want to be by nature just, you know, kids, I see it all the time, it's just everybody's doing it. I want to do it because everybody else is doing it. That's what everybody else is doing. Sometimes we as old Baptists look around and think somebody's doing it a better way than the counsel of God, and we say, well, let's go that way. Well, no, brethren. Our brethren in the past fought against that. No, we're not going that way. Why? Because that way isn't the counsel of the godly, and therefore, if it's not right, it's wrong. You know, it's okay in this old world now to say, you know, something, it's almost like it's wrong to say anything's wrong. That's the only thing that's wrong. You can say anything else you want, but you can't say anything is wrong. And it even gets so, we're so sensitized to that idea and thought, when you get in an old Baptist meeting, sometimes you go like, they're really hard today. They're really hitting it hard. No, they're just telling the truth. We just gotten so desensitized to it that we just don't, sometimes we have a hard time with someone just telling the truth. It is the truth. God didn't play around with His Word. Listen, to lie against the Lord, it was serious implications and consequences for that. And we see throughout the Bible that God doesn't play. It is not pleasing to the Lord for us to play at this. Let God be true and every man a liar. What God has said in His Word, He means. And the Ten Commandments are commandments, not suggestions. And what God has said in His Bible, He's given us His Bible. This is our guide. This is our rule for faith and practice. The reason we do what we do is because of what the Word says. And if we don't have the Word for it, we ought not do it. And if we do have the Word for it, we ought to be doing it. And we're not to stray to the right or to the left, but we're to hold on to that. And we're not just to hold on to it in a legalistic sense. We're to love it. We're to go like, I know that's right. Why? Because that's the counsel of God. That is the direction God has given it. And whether I like it or not, whether I am, our mind is going to be contrary to that. Don't think for a moment. Everything that's right, we have an old nature that will say to you in your mind, that's not right. And there's that warfare that goes on. Sometimes I'm here in this world and I say, it looks like I just ought to be able to get along a whole lot easier. I don't know what it seems like everywhere I go, I bump into something and I go like, now I do admit this, there are times I could keep my mouth shut and it would be a lot better, and should. But there are times that God's little children have to stand. If we don't stand by our silence, we're going right in the way, we're standing in the way of sinners. And that's not in a judgmental way. Listen, that's our nature. When it comes down to sinners, it isn't just the world who's got that. If we're anything tonight, we're a house of sinners. And I'm thankful that we sang about the friend of sinners, aren't you? I'm thankful that Jesus said, I came not to those who are well. I am a great physician, and I came to the sick. I came to those who are lost and undone and brokenhearted. I'm thankful when I see little sinners come and said, I don't want to continue in that, but listen, we want to go another way, go and sin no more. But listen, if he ever said sinners can't come in here, then there's no place for me. I'm not proud I'm a sinner, but I am stating to you that's what I am. I wish I wasn't, but I am. And I'm glad there's a place that He's prepared and given to us by His grace where we can come in and be taught to do different. Not sometimes we get out there, well, that's the way I've always been. Well, change. I mean, that's what repentance means, change. It doesn't just mean just be sorry about it, but it means stop walking this way and walk another way. We don't have to be so hard-headed. We don't have to have such a quick tongue. We don't have to act this way when we don't have to act this way. We don't have to act that way. We can treat one another better. We can act more in the love of God. We can return to that first love. Our meetings can be as warm as they used to be. Our singing can be just as fervent as it ever was, or more so. We can learn from His Word. We can do what the Lord gives us the ability to do, and that is to honor Him. Listen, He's deserving of our very, very, very best. He's been good to us, hasn't He? And we've already been blessed. And you walking in those blessings will find, you'll find what's written right here. It'll be like a tree. Would you want to live like a heath in the desert, or do you want to be a tree planted by the waters? And the tree planted by the waters, listen, it faces all kinds of difficulties. It faces dry times, hard times, storms that'll hit it. The tree gets everything that every other tree, every other bush gets. It has the problems of life. It'll have all of those things. But it's by the water, which that water is a picture of God's amazing grace and God's love that flows out of the throne of heaven. Listen, there's a river that makes glad the city of God that comes down into this world that'll help you in the dark hours. Haven't you found it? In the hard times, in the difficult times, and you're going through a difficult path. But then you find that grace and that love and that peace that comes in your heart that allows you dig, the roots are deep, and you find that I'm not falling apart, even though in a way I feel I am, but in the Lord I'm not. Even to say what the Apostle Paul said, when I get this, sometimes we say, well, I don't know why I'm not stronger. The Bible doesn't say when you're strong, you're strong. So my daddy needs some strength. And that's going to have to come from the Lord. And His Son needs some strength to be reconciled to God's will, whatever it might be. That's got to come from the Lord. And in our lives, we're hit with all kinds of storms and problems and circumstances that we go like, why would this occur? Listen, Jesus suffered, and there's a measure of suffering we're going to have, just as a simple fact we are His children, and we're going to fellowship Him in His, if we fellowship with Him in His glory, we're also going to have some fellowship with Him in suffering, so that you and I might know what suffering is a little bit. Sometimes we get the idea, well, I don't know, suffering's good. Oh, listen, if suffering brings you near to the foot of the cross, God, be thankful, even as Paul said, I didn't glory only in success, but I glory in tribulation also. Knowing that tribulation, and it does, doesn't it? It works patience. Got to wait on the Lord. I ain't got no choice. Tribulation worketh patience. And when you wait on the Lord, what happens? He renews your strength. How do we know that? The Word says it. The counsel of the ungodly would say, no, he's going to let you down. But the counsel of the godly, the counsel of God's Word says, he that waiteth upon the Lord shall renew his strength. He'll mount up like eagles. Listen, that isn't just a little bit of getting through. That's not tweaking by. It's like having the strength to do what you could never have dreamed you'd be able to do. And the ability to think like you'd never thought you'd be able to think. It's like having your mind not upon your own ability or your own. You trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, listen, that tribulation that works with patience, patience works experience, which means you find the Lord come through. I want you to look back tonight a little bit in your life and just think about those times that were so very, very difficult. And the experience was God came through. That's what the hymn writer was talking. That's what John Newton was talking about. Grace brought me safe thus far. What's going to lead me on? The same grace that brought me safe thus far. That same grace that took care of this boy when he was a teenager. The same grace that took care of me in my younger years. The same grace that's helped me in raising up my kids. The same grace who's been with me. The Lord has. Listen, this river didn't just start yesterday. It didn't just start when I found the Lord and came along. This river has flowed from the throne of God because it's by the power of God that we have it. And when we abide near Him and in that vine, and we eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, we find that nourishment, that strength that you need in this world. And brethren, you'll find it as you stand in need of it. That tribulation work of patience, patience experience, and then that experience make it not a shame. Experience hope. Hope. I'm glad he didn't say perfect knowledge, because I'd be in trouble tonight. I don't have that. No, I'll tell you what, I got hope. When do I have hope? When I think about the Lord. When I think about me, I'm hopeless. I have the sentence of death in myself. When I think about the Lord, He is the way. He is the way. He's the way for us. He's got every answer there. He is the answer to all our problems, all our trouble. What a friend. We sing what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, we have a friend. He says, blessed is that man or the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I'm telling you, brethren, what this is describing is exactly where you and I would be and what we would be doing were it not for the blessing of God's grace in our life. I mean, I would hate to be shaking my fist in the face of Almighty God and calling Him and cursing at Him and denying His existence. But I'm telling you, if God wasn't in my heart and worked in me, that's exactly where I would be. But because we're blessed, we certainly do not want to sit in the seat of the scornful. And get verse 2. It says, this one who's blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. I believe that speaking of not just the ceremonial law or that law of the Old Testament, I believe it's talking about God's holy word. I believe it's talking about the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in what thus saith the Lord. It is not just it's not just a little help to him from time to time. It's not just something I get to use a little bit to help me get through the rough times. It's not just something that holds me up a little while, but it becomes my delight. That means it is what I need every day. Just like I eat every day, I need this. Somebody said, teachers often use the statement, how often should you read? Well, you should read as much as you eat. You eat every day. You ought to be reading every day. And I'm telling you, as a child of grace, we need this book every day. I need a daily diet of God's Word. And when we miss this instruction, it's to our own detriment. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means I need to know it. I need to read it. I need to study it. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Preach the word. In order to preach the word, you got to know the word. You got to study the word. Be instant in season, out of season. It is the word that reproves and rebukes and exhorts. And it does it with all longsuffering and doctrine. We don't want opinions being declared from our pulpit. We want the word of God, the counsel of the godly. It says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Now notice it didn't say you just meditate by emptying your head and go home on a rock. It didn't say you do this or do that in that kind of way, and don't do it like the world, just empty your mind, let nothing in it. I'm telling you, an empty mind is a playground for the adversary. He loves an empty mind, and he will fill it with his junk. This Bible says to meditate, yes, but it says to meditate on what? In His law, in His word, in what He said, in a thus saith the Lord. That means you have it in your heart, you read it, and then you think about it. You meditate on it. I'll tell you, you will, as you meditate on it, as you feed on it, as it becomes your delight, then you cease to walk. How do you keep out of the counsel of the ungodly? Well, if you've got the Word in your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts, well, it will guide you and direct you, and your life becomes, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What kind of mind is that? It's a mind that's meditating upon the law of the law of God or the Word of God, and it's doing it day and night. And that one who does that, he says, and he shall be. Notice it didn't say might be. It didn't say probably would be. It says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now what is that? That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That means it's bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. You want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? What would our life be without love? That's the fruit of the Spirit. We need more of it, don't we? We need more love. We need more love in our homes. We need more love in our church. We need more love. Number one, we don't want to leave our first love. And the book Ephesus, the church at Ephesus that I keep going back to over and over again, as they had left their first love. And he said, repent, or else I'll come quickly and remove thy candlestick from his place. There is important for us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then it also says, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And as we operate in that love, you know, a church operating in love is going to be at peace. A church is operating in love is going to be forgiving. A church is operating in love is going to suffer long and be kind to one another. A church is operating in love is not individuals looking for their own little spot or their own little place, but they're going to desire more above everything else that God is honored. And they'll want to be at the feet of their brethren because they love their brethren. And says that, and love your neighbor as yourself. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Love, joy. You know, you want to see joy, you find one somebody meditating in the Word of God. Sometimes we get the idea that joy comes when circumstances are good. And oh, I love good things happening. I like to see everybody well. If I had my choice, everybody that's sick that I know would be well. I just fix things right that way. But they see that's not our answer. That's joy is not based on circumstances. Our joy is in the Lord. If it's truly joy, the fruit of the Spirit, it's in the Lord. And the Lord hadn't changed. The Lord is still there. The Lord is still present. The Lord is still with us. The Lord has not left us. The Lord will never leave us. The Lord is here in our hearts. He said, let the peace of God, love, joy, peace, that is there as well. But the joy, if Jesus is in your heart, the joy that you have is in your heart. It hasn't gone anywhere. The circumstances change, but the true joy that you have as a little child of grace has never changed. He is my joy. Love, joy, peace. I need peace in this old world. I need rest. I need peace. Love, joy, peace. And when you're planted, when the Word of God is in your mind and in your heart, and you're meditating upon it day and night, you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those fruit of the Spirit. It says, like a tree planted by the water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Does that mean everything I do is always going to work out just like I wanted it to? And that's absolutely not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches you just the other, that in this world you'll have tribulation. But listen, He's still going to prosper us. Whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. When we trust in the Lord and leave it, and as we've often said and heard quoted today, the Lord is my shepherd. We say that in our hearts, the Lord is my shepherd. We can say just what that next verse, part of that verse says. When you truly understand what it means to say the Lord is my shepherd, you can say, I shall not want. And sometimes we get the idea, well, I want for a whole lot. I guarantee you, if I ask you tonight, do you have any wants? You might not now, but you probably all we could have set down a whole list of these are things I want. I could have given you my list. I know that. These are things that I want. Well, when is it that I can say I shall not want? Is it in the flesh that I say I shall not want? Is that the old fleshly man that ever... Listen, that old fleshly man is going to always want. He's going to never be satisfied. He's never going to be content. You'll not find contentment in that old man. You got to put him off. Keep him under subjection. The contentment, the joy, and the peace comes in the inner man, the spiritual man, and we find joy and peace and contentment in him. And when we are really at peace with the Lord, no matter the circumstances, sick, well, at death's door, or in the best of health, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's prospering. And some people say that means you'll always get well if you ask God. He'll heal you every time. Listen, and you praise God because He's healed you. Listen, you're to praise God if you're healed. You're to praise God if you're not. Because if we're in the hands of God, there's not a thing that can come in our path that God isn't intimately aware of. And if we're trusting in Him, then we can understand, well, God has a purpose in this, whether I understand that purpose completely now or not, or ever. I can be settled on the fact that God has a purpose. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, the ungodly is not just talking about those who don't know the Lord. It's talking about when God's little children get in the Broadway. As a matter of fact, there are more of God's people, I believe in my heart from the Scripture, there are more of God's people in the Broadway than in the straight and narrow. I believe there's a lot of God's people. I believe that every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, the Lord has a people. And I believe He knows all that are His. And they're there not because they chose Him, but because He chose them. And there's nothing that can separate them from the Lord or His love. Nothing. But we can lose our fellowship with our Lord. And there's a Broadway we can get in that leads in our timely destruction, where we lose the joy and the rest and the peace that is there for us in the salvation the Lord's given us. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose the joy of it. David found that way. He wasn't walking in the counsel of the godly when he found that. It was in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, it seems like, well, this is going to work out best for now. And how long does that last? I mean, how long does that little joy of sin last? Just a moment, just a moment. Sometimes never at all. But sometimes it's just a glimpse of it. If I could have all this money, look what I could do. If I had this or I had that or I lived here or I lived there or whatever, when we get outside of God's will, the devil will sell us any lie, and our old nature will have us run after any lie. And how long does those joys last? You get them, and it's not long before you wish you'd never seen them. And you get so hungry spiritually, you just say, oh, if I can just get back to my Father's house. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. We don't stand before God in His judgment in a way where He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, that doesn't mean we lose out on the eternal destiny. But if we lose, listen, I want fellowship with every little believer, every little child of grace we can have fellowship with. But I'll tell you how empty that fellowship would be if it cost us our fellowship with the Lord. The most important thing you and I have in our lives is our fellowship with the Lord. And if you lose fellowship with Him, the rest doesn't really matter. And if you have fellowship with Him, the rest doesn't really matter. What you will have is fellowship with those who have fellowship with Him. It's pretty simple, doesn't it? I'm not saying it's easy to do, because the Bible doesn't say it. It says strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many will strive to enter therein and will not be able. That's not exactly what it says quoted wise, but Luke 13 says it. And there are many that go in at the broad way. He says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We will not have fellowship with Him when we walk contrary to His will and to His way in our life openly, knowingly. And that doesn't mean we get perfect. It means but there are responsibilities left upon us to walk, as He said to the little woman. He says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go live like you want to, it's going to be okay. He said, neither do I condemn thee. She was caught in the very act of adultery. He said, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee, but then go and sin no more. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And I not only believe that means He knows about them, but I believe He's the one who brings them. In other words, if there's any good in us, where did it come from? If there's anything good we do, who is it that worked in us? If we can work it out, who worked it in? And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But the way of the ungodly, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Appreciate your kind attention. Please continue to pray for me when you have a mind. God bless you.